Welcome to the Longevity Optimization Podcast, where we discuss longevity, optimal health, nutrition, peak performance, cognitive excellence, and so much more. Doctor, it is a pleasure to have you here with me today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to join you.
Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking all things NAD optimization.
Yeah, we can talk about NAD optimization, or we can talk about longevity in general.
I love that. Well, we know NAD plays a big role in longevity, so let's start there. Very basic. What is NAD?
All right. So NAD is a coenzyme. And a coenzyme is a molecule that helps other enzymes to function. That's why it's called a coenzyme. The coenzyme, in some cases, like NAD, is required for the function of over 500 other enzymes. That's why they are so important. And they can impact the cellular processes in almost every part of the body. And the most important function of NAD is to help our cells to produce cellular energy in the form of ATP. Without ATP, we cannot survive. And without NAD, we cannot produce ATP. That's the number one function. But I can sit here and talk about the 500 or more other functions that NAD has.
So basically, super important in energy production, right? So that's why a lot of times I think when we see NAD advertised, there is a whole list of things that it can help with, right? From brain fog to energy. What would you say are maybe the top like five impacts that NAD can make? So maybe like brain health, how do you see it?
We can put it in two different ways. One, we can talk about the impact of NAD on biochemical or molecular functions. And we can also talk about in terms of what symptoms or pathologies the NAD deficiency can cause. Let's go through the biochemical functions first. So biochemically, production of ATP, number one. Reduction for inflammation, number two, reduction of oxidative stress, number three, reduction of cellular senescence, number four, and regulation of metabolic function like insulin resistance, and regulation of liver enzymes, and so on. So these are the top five functions. I might add that it's very important for allergic reactions, and so it's a very important immune regulator. From the symptomatic point of view, the number one symptoms that we may see if NAD is deficient is the lack of energy, or we can get tired very easily. And that's often seen by many people. Actually, about 70% of patients who go see a doctor complain about being tired all the time. And that's number one. Second one is brain function or neurological conditions, you know, brain fog, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, and they can all be related to NAD deficiency. And the next one is, you know, diabetes, obesity, or the metabolic syndromes. And fourth one is allergy, asthma. And the fifth one that's very common is arthritis, inflammation, you know, pain, you know, and I can go on and on. Yeah, that's almost nothing that's not related to NAD function. what we're finding even more now is the number one risk factor for heart failure is actually NAD deficiency and associating energy production defect and the mitochondrial dysfunction.
Wow.
We also see at least the association. We don't know whether it's a cause or not, but we at least there's an association of NAD deficiency and infertility. I mean, it's very new data. I wouldn't be surprised that all major pathologies or diseases can have a contribution from NAD deficiency.
Wow. Well, I really, specialize in female health, and I have a large female audience. So I would love to kind of lean into, I know it's very new, but what are you thinking is kind of the mechanism there in terms of NAD deficiency and fertility issues?
Yeah. So we know in women with infertility issues, inflammation is increased in the ovary, as particularly in an enzyme called CD38. CD38 eats NAD for lunch and dinner and breakfast. All right, it's a major NAD degrading enzyme. So that's why NAD levels in the ovary in women with infertility issues are particularly low. And for now, it's an association. I mean, no one has proven that NAD deficiency causes infertility issues yet. But I wouldn't be surprised that NAD supplementation or NAD optimization can help women with infertility and infertility issues. I would love to work with you and your members to, do a study and see how this can help them. You know, on the male side, there's no data yet, but I'm very confident that the quantity and the quantity of sperms can be related to NAD as well. And so this whole infertility issues may have a very strong relationship with NAD, and getting NAD optimized can make their body function better, and in particular may increase sperm quality and quantity, increase the quantity of oocyte and eggs, and make some infertility issues go away. I mean, there are some other ways that we can help beyond NAD, like inflammation, how we can reduce inflammation, how we can reduce oxidative stress that can help infertility issues. But NAD is definitely one of the top issues we have to fix.
Well, I love that. And let's certainly talk about doing a study. This is actually something I'm very passionate about, is getting more studies on women, right? And human studies. So I would love to discuss that further. I think it's super interesting, and we need that data. So hi, we're taking a short break from the podcast to discuss a new community that I have launched. I want to preface this by saying that I will continue to post content on my social platforms and conduct interviews on this podcast that are both free and applicable to both sexes. But as a woman, I have unique insights and perspectives on female health. I recently launched my first ever paid offering, and this is a female-only health optimization and longevity community. If you are a male, you can skip this portion of the podcast, or you can forward this information to a female that you think would be interested. I set out to create the most valuable longevity optimization community for women. I have spent over the last decade dedicating my life to human optimization and have dived deep into the female-specific optimization and protocols. This is a place I want you to learn everything you need to know about optimizing your health, longevity, and mindset. I made this a community only for women because I wanted us to be able to be open, which I didn't feel could be done in the comment section of my Instagram. I also loved the idea of women sharing protocols of what's working best, and everybody within the community can offer valuable insights to each other and support. Members get weekly and bi-weekly Ask Me Anythings, exclusive content and protocols like articles, videos, and a whole host of courses. And you'll receive up-to-date female longevity science. You'll also get community and connection with like-minded women, access to virtual and in-person events with me, and your membership will help support female human studies in the very near future. You can learn more about this membership on my website, kaylabarnes.com. For me, it's really exciting because I just did a full fertility workup. I've been measuring, you know, thousands of biomarkers for years now, but went through actual fertility, and my fertility is, you know, in the top 90%+, which is amazing. But with that being said, I have done NAD in a variety of different forms over the years. You know, when I first learned about it maybe 8 years ago, I started with just some NR supplementation. I've done NMN. My clinic does some IV therapy, which I'm excited to dive into because I know that the consensus around IV NAD is changing a bit these days. But yeah, I definitely, and now I'm taking your product. So I love it. I'm doing it twice a day, which is amazing. It's super easy. I'm just putting it in water, mixing it up with some of my other longevity concoctions. But no, I would love to do that. And that's super exciting. And I appreciate your offer. So thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. So I think more and more people are recognizing the importance of NAD, and they may have started using various NAD, either some supplementation or IV or injections. But what everyone has to understand is that we are all different, and we may need a different dosage of supplements to get our NAD optimized. Most experts or general public, they only talk about increasing NAD levels. That's not good enough to me, because I talk about NAD optimization. I know you talk about health optimization. I mean, you know, I do health optimization as well, but just like health optimization, your NAD optimization is part of the health optimization. It's absolutely essential to be able to test NAD levels, especially after any kind of treatment. Ideally, you want to have a before treatment test, so you know your baseline level or your current level. And then after any kind of treatment, you know how well it has worked. And I can tell you, based on our recommendation, I believe our supplement is the best form to optimize NAD. But even with our supplement, at the initial recommendation, we can only get NAD optimized for about 70% of the customers. For about 25% of them, the dosage has to go up. And for about 5%, their NAD level actually goes up too high and into a potentially harmful level. So testing is really the key to keep or to get the NAD optimized and keep the NAD level in the optimal zone. That's absolutely essential. We started our work on developing the NAD test, because testing for NAD is actually very difficult, and we have been the only company that can test NAD for patients and consumers for the last 5 years, and we have accumulated tremendous amount of data, and we have defined what's the optimum level and what are the best ways to get NAD optimized. You know, you mentioned the, you know, NAD IV, and we have done clinical trials, and what we have shown is that NAD IV actually does not increase NAD levels inside the cells. And that doesn't mean that the NAD IV does not provide any benefit. It does provide some temporary relief. And even though the NAD molecule is too big and cannot get inside of the cells, they are receptors for NAD on neuronal cells and on some immune cells. And so NAD can bind to the receptors and change the function of the neuronal cells. That's why NAD IV has been primarily used for treating certain neurological conditions, especially addictions. And that's through the extracellular NAD, but it does not increase intracellular NAD. You know, over 90% of the function of NAD is related to intracellular NAD. So for anyone out there who is taking NAD IV or considers to getting NAD IV, my recommendation is you also need to use NAD precursors like NMN or NR to elevate and optimize your intracellular NAD to get the full benefit of the molecule.
So essentially, the NAD IV, the molecules are a bit too big to be intracellular, but they can, you know, temporarily increase NAD extracellularly.
That's correct.
Got it. That's super helpful. And that's definitely been on my mind. And I've actually, you know, because I love testing things, right? So I love testing the NAD IV, and now I'm doing, you know, your supplementation, and it's such a fun experience seeing what really moves the needle. So I did your test. I'm like on the low end of optimal, which, you know, it had been a few, it probably had been about a month because I moved and, you know, I was just having a bunch of things going on. So I hadn't done NAD supplementation. So I was at the lower end of optimal. I've been doing your product now. Super excited to retest and get my levels up, because at the end of the day, I just want the truth of what's going to work best, so I can help share that with people and I can save them time and energy and resources of trialing all of these things on their own.
Yeah. I mean, in that case, my recommendation is, you know, unless you have certain neurological conditions, addictions, or some infectious disease like Lyme's disease, and even long-term COVID can potentially benefit from NAD IV. If you are just trying to get more energy, get yourself optimized. So I've been battling infection for the last couple of days.
That's okay.
My recommendation is, you know, get on a good or NAD precursor. And both NMN and NR work. And my preference is NMN, because NMN is a white step of a precursor. It's closer to NAD. And also NMN has some biological functions that NR doesn't seem to have. So overall, NMN has more functions, even though both can elevate NAD levels. So get a good NAD precursor supplement. And, you know, I'm certainly recommend my product, because most products out there are just pure NMN or NR, and ours is a combination with four ingredients that work synergistically to provide better elevation of NAD, and more importantly, it revitalizes the cell function better than just NMN alone. And, you know, give it a try, and we actually provide a guarantee. If it doesn't work for someone, we are happy to give them money back. And, you know, we are here to provide the benefits to people who want to work with us.
I love that. So what are the other ingredients? Can you talk about them and maybe even and just what are the benefits and how they work synergistically together?
So we have three elements, one the main ingredients. We have creatine monohydrate, or just creatine, and we have D-ribose, and we have nicotinamide. So creatine, many people know creatine as a muscle builder, and that's absolutely true. And what most people don't know is that creatine is actually a battery for ATP. And you combine creatine and ATP, you make another molecule called phosphorylated or phosphocreatine. All right. When you are not doing any kind of physical work and your body is still producing ATP, and that extra ATP can be stored in creatine. And then you go exercise, you are going to play tennis, maybe some kind of rocket sports that can extend your lifespan by, 6 to 10 more years. And you are going to need the energy, a quick release of energy. That's when the phosphocreatine will release the ATP and to give your cells, especially muscle cells, the energy to move around. So that's a very important point that many people don't know or don't understand. The second point is really related to what you do. So what has recently been found is that creatine is actually a neurotransmitter. So it functions as a neurotransmitter to improve neuronal communication. And NAD is also a neurotransmitter. So we are providing two neurotransmitters in this formula. So that's why a lot of people have improved mental clarity and dramatically reduce the brain fog, and that's because the NAD and the creatine are both functioning as neurotransmitters. And D-ribose is very important because D-ribose is a component of not only the nucleic acid, but it's also part of the NAD molecule. If you combine the fourth ingredient we have, nicotinamide, with D-ribose, you make nicotinamide riboside or NR. So here we actually have three different ways for your cells to make NAD, not just one. So we have NAD, we have NR, and we have nicotinamide that can be converted into NAD. Three different ways, and we are providing functions not only from NAD, but from the individual ingredients, and they work together, and we get unbelievable outcomes. Sometimes even it's beyond my imagination. So one very fascinating story we had is on an 18-month-old baby girl from Turkey. And this baby fell into a well, unfortunately, and she went to a coma for 6 months. Her doctors tried everything and couldn't wake her up. The only thing she was able to do was to move her eyes for 6 months. After trying everything, the doctor who has been working with us put her on the product. And after a few days, she started moving. After a few weeks, and she actually walks again like a normal baby.
Wow, that's
That
amazing.
that's I when I received the email about 2 months ago, I initially couldn't understand why that was happening. But afterwards, I was thinking about it. I think what has happened is not only the product is now is improving the neuronal communication, but also is increasing the neuromuscular communication. So you know, in a coma, it's near that the brain's not communicating with the muscles, so you cannot wake up, right? So it actually does make a lot of sense.
Wow, that's amazing. So what you have a PhD, so what made you so interested in studying NAD in this way?
Well, my entire scientific career over 40 years has always been about identification of risk factors for diseases and the prevention of diseases. And my children came back. And so about now from 6-7 years ago, I became very interested in longevity because, you know, I was not getting younger, and I wanted to you know, some of my high school and college classmates are already kind of falling apart, getting very old. I decided that I'm not going to I didn't want to fall into that trap, and I wanted to change my course of direction and try to do something about it. And I believed that my knowledge and my skills can come up with some ways that can extend our health span. I'm not really about extending the maximum lifespan. And if you read my website, what I talk about is I want to close the gap between lifespan and health span. Lifespan is basically the life expectancy. It means average lifespan is the life expectancy, right? And the health span is the number of years that we stay free of major diseases. That gap is huge. We don't know exactly how many years, but it's certainly between 20 to 30 years, if not more. And my goal is to close this gap. I want as many people as possible to live to their life expectancy, healthy, active, and they can pursue what they are capable of doing. And that would be a huge achievement for me personally and scientifically. So I started looking into solutions about how to do it. And what I came up is a philosophical understanding or realization. And that's actually based on a very ancient Chinese philosophy called Taoism. And now that applies perfectly here, because if you want to live healthy and longer, you really have to find the balance and the harmony between your genes and your environment or lifestyle. So if you can keep this in a harmonious state, you are going to extend your health span. And the way that we can do it is through a program that we call the TAO, T-A-O. And it's test, act, and optimize. Test is the fundamental part of the TAO program. And why is it important to test? As many people can understand, test allows us to identify the deficiencies or abnormalities. Test allows us to identify the weakest links that each one has. And probably more importantly, test allows us to figure out whether anything that we do is efficacious, it's actually working. it's making a difference or not. In many cases, the actions that people take not only are not making a difference, but in some cases, and actually in too many cases, these are potentially causing harms because they don't know what they really need. They don't know how much to take. Either they are not taking enough or they are taking too much. So testing will allow us to answer all these important questions. And testing allows us to come up with a personalized and a precision action plan. And that's what I want to do. I mean, we're not only test for NAD, we want to test the reasonable number of biomarkers. It's very difficult to test, you know, hundreds and or thousands of biomarkers. Some people will do it. Brian Johnson probably tested a lot more. But I wanted to come up with a reasonable number of biomarkers that can give us an overall assessment of where we are and where we want to go. And we came up with about 22 biomarkers that we have in our panel. NAD stands out clearly at the very top, if not the most important, because it's involved in pretty much every single cellular processes that's important to health. And then later on, we realized that optimization of NAD makes everything else we do work so much better. So NAD optimization is the first and a necessary step towards extending health span. Some people may argue that NAD may not extend the lifespan. That depends on your point of view. No one argues about extending health span. And if you extend the health span, you are going to extend the lifespan. What the argument has been about is it should be about, does it extend the maximum lifespan? We don't know what's our maximum lifespan anyways. So arguing that point is pointless in my view at this particular point of time. We know we can live to 127 at least, and that's the oldest person that has ever lived, I believe. And I'm very happy if I can live to 120 healthy and do all the kind of things I can do. That's all I want for this moment.
I love that. You talked about genetics. What impact do you think genetics have on longevity?
The common view of the impact of genetics on longevity is it contributes about 10% of longevity. I think that's an oversimplification. On average, that may be true. But it's so variable from person to person. In some individuals, if you inherit an longevity genes, I think you are certainly going to live, at least has the opportunity to live much longer than from families without the longevity genes. It also depends on how you define longevity genes. This is such year-defined term. You know, people want to give a number. Experts like David Sinclair and many, many others, they want to throw a number out there, and they want people to believe that, that's the truth. That I think is way oversimplified. For some individuals, genetics may be everything. If someone has a life-threatening gene to terminate their life very early on, genetics is everything, right? Mm-hmm. And for others, it's primarily environmental factors or lifestyles. And I think it's important to emphasize the importance of lifestyle, because it's a choice that we can make, that we can change. Unfortunately, we still cannot change our genes easily. Maybe one day we can do it. We already have the tools. It's not widely applied yet, and we will be able to change a lot of single genes for the better. So, because we cannot change our genes easily, and what we should focus on is how we can control our lifestyle for the better, for not to increase lifespan and health span. And from that point of view, downplaying the genetic little bit is probably appropriate.
Yes, I agree. So how do we measure NAD? What is the measurement, and what are you looking for? Like, what are the optimal ranges? I'm sure that they may change based on, or you can talk about, are there differences in sexes? Do women need more NAD or men need more NAD?
Sure. First, the NAD test that Genfinity offers is a dried blood spot test. So you basically click your finger and get one or two drops of blood on a newborn screening card, called a field paper. And you send it back to our lab in Georgia. And we return the results within 1 week. And the result will tell you whether you are deficient or not, and how deficient you are. And you can, even before you get the results, you can start any supplementation, because most people are likely deficient. Now, how do we define the optimum range is critical. So we defined the optimum range based on two sets of data we have. The first one is, what are the NAD levels we see in young people? We all believe that younger people have higher NAD level, which is true, and we believe most of them should be in some kind of a optimum range, but it's not necessarily true, okay? For example, if you take a vitamin D, children are deficient in vitamin D as well. So defining optimum range based on data in younger people is how normally the reference range is defined. There are three ways to define the optimum range. One is what you see in a normal population, so-called healthy population, but there's no healthy population, frankly, and we will have some kind of issues. But that's how most medical tests are defined. It's called a reference range. It's not called an optimum range. Okay, that's a huge difference. And the second way to divide is what you see in a younger population if the levels change with age. And NAD certainly goes down with age. So defining the levels based on what you see in young people is actually a very good starting point. So what we have seen is over 75% of the teenagers have NAD levels above 40 micromolar, and so we defined the lower range of the optimum range at 40. That's why. It turns out that after taking NAD supplements, we see health benefits in individuals who got the NAD level over 40 micromole. So The health benefit, at what level you start seeing health benefits, and what's what we see in 75% of young people, both put the lower end of the optimum range at about 40. You know, plus or minus, you know, one, they were going to know exactly what's the, you know, what's the exact volume. So we recommend that people should get their NAD at least above 40. The ideal range is between 50 to 75. And while defining the optimal range at between 40 and 100, but ideal is 50 to 75.
And is that the same for females and males?
We do not really know whether it should be the same or not. I do not see a difference between males and the females in terms of the natural levels of NAD. I do not see a difference in terms of benefits when we get the NAD levels elevating. So I don't think there's a difference, but at least I do not have enough data to define a difference between males and females in a meaningful way. And I'm not saying absolutely there's no difference, but I don't think the difference is meaningful, or we need to pay much attention to it.
Okay.
What I do see is a major difference between some ethnic groups. We see more severe NAD deficiencies in Asians, especially Vietnamese and Koreans, Indian, and to some degree Chinese, relative to Caucasians. But it turns out that it's actually easier to get NAD optimized in Asians. I don't know why.
Why do you think that it's lower?
I do not really know. Recently, what I realized is there is potentially a difference in the supplement called niacin. Niacin is also an NAD precursor. I think in Western countries, some food does contain niacin, and niacin is probably more commonly supplemented in ethnic American diet. So niacin can actually increase NAD, but I don't recommend the use of niacin to increase NAD levels because it has some harmful effects.
You know what would be so interesting to do is, I'm not sure if you have any data on pregnant women, but...
I do.
You do. So what happens? Because I'm in family planning stages. It would be so interesting to, you know, like benchmark each month or a couple times a month and see what happens. Do NAD levels drop? Do they rise? Do they recover?
I don't have that type of data. So what the data that I have is very interesting, that I think we need to pay more attention to is probably oxidative stress, free radicals. And during pregnancy, the levels of oxidative stress just increased tremendously. And I think the NAD should be a prenatal vitamin, frankly, and that's going to be a very difficult fight, because people are more cautious during pregnancy. I mean, And there's really no harm with NAD supplements. I think it's going to provide so much more benefit to both the mom and the unborn child if the NAD level is optimized before and during pregnancy, obviously after as well. Supplement that's really going to help women during pregnancy is reduction of oxidative stress. And I am really interested in this infertility pregnancy issues, and you know I have not really had the time or find the right vehicle to get some studies done. I think it's going to be fascinating. We're going to be able to help so many people.
I love that. Well, we'll definitely talk off podcast about getting a bunch of tests, because it's so fascinating. It's like we don't have that much data on what's actually happening during pregnancy. So I intend on doing full panel blood biomarkers every week during pregnancy.
Yeah.
To see what changes. You know, there's a lot of data around even biological age increasing during pregnancy. And all of this makes sense because you're literally creating a human being. I mean, of course, it's going to be very taxing on your body.
Yeah, everything changes. I mean, let's get our whole panel done on you as well. I'm very interested in having the data.
And me too.
I think it's going to be fascinating.
I completely agree. I love that. Okay, so let's talk about optimization protocols here. So obviously, it's always best to test, right?
Yeah.
But we can assume that most people are deficient in NAD. So if you can test, I'll certainly include a link. I've done the test. I'll continue to be doing the test and sharing my data and just being very transparent about, you know, how it's going. But let's say that you don't have the resources to test, but you want to start NAD supplementation. What would be a reasonable starting protocol to optimize your levels?
Start with 1,000 milligrams of NMN on a daily basis. And if, you know, for people who do not want to spend more money, you can get a pure NMN from us or from other companies. But don't just go buy the cheapest product on Amazon. I mean, there are so many different brands, and you don't want to just randomly buy and at least, you know, check the reputable companies. And if you are willing to spend a little more money, the vitality boost that we have on our website is the best NAD product. So we have both the pure NMN and the NAD NMN formulation, and you know 95% of our customers choose the more expensive formulation over the cheaper NMN pure NMN product because they know the difference. So you don't have to do a pretest. A test before supplementation, but I highly recommend a test, at least one test after supplementation. This way you know whether you are taking enough and or whether you are taking too much. Too much is harmful. Too little does not provide you the benefits. So I would not save money on the testing after supplementation, and also don't wait for too long to take a test. 3 to 4 weeks on the product daily consistently is enough to get your NAD level up. If it doesn't go up after 3 to 4 weeks, continue to take the product the same way, the same amount, will not increase your NAD level further.
Yeah. What are some, so we know age is obviously a risk factor for decreased NAD, but what are some other things that can increase NAD even if you're not of an older age?
Okay, increase NAD or decrease NAD?
Sorry, decrease NAD. Yeah, decrease NAD levels.
Yeah, there are many things that can decrease NAD, primarily inflammation. Inflammation increases the molecule called CD38. That's the NAD degrading enzyme. If you are exposed to radiation toxins that can damage DNA, and that will increase the activity of the enzyme that repairs damaged DNA, and that requires NAD can degrade NAD. People with health conditions, diseases, tend to have lower NAD levels because they need more NAD to get their body to function more properly. So it's more related to health issues in a more significant way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned the CD38 inhibitors, right? So what are some examples of those?
Quercetin is a very common and relatively potent inhibitor of CD38. There's another one that's is an cancer drug in clinical trial, but it's not available as a supplement. And you know, quercetin is really the only one. Epigenin may help, but epigenin is not a very at the recommended dosage. Epigenin does not inhibit CD38. So quercetin is the one that I would recommend because quercetin has a lot of other benefits. You can reduce inflammation. It can reduce uric acid, UA, and that's a major longevity biomarker.
So just for clarity, CD8 inhibitors are a good thing, right?
Yeah, CD38 inhibitors are a good thing, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's okay to do quercetin and NAD and MN
supplement. I think everyone should take a quercetin, 1,000 milligrams of quercetin as a routine supplement.
Daily?
Yeah. That's what I do. And quercetin is a senolytic compound. It reduces senescence burden.
What do you think? I've seen a few companies doing anti-senolytics. So you'll do a higher dose of quercetin like every other month. What do you think about that?
I'm glad you didn't mention the company because otherwise I cannot talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm getting into trouble by saying that.
All right, well we'll skip that.
I need to be very careful because I work with so many companies. I advise them and I help them to develop a product. Sometimes I need to be careful and
sure
disclosing certain information. So let me give you my general belief or thinking. I prefer single preventive versus senolytic if it's possible. So I take daily quercetin at 1,000 milligrams. I can add 500 milligrams of quercetin as well. I also recommend at least 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and ideally probably 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, because we know quercetin and vitamin C can synergize and increase their I hate to call it synodic function, but we can call it, you know, synopreventive function. And we have a lessons test. We know for many people, if you take quercetin and the vitamin C on a routine basis, we can bring down the senescence burden. That can work quite well. In general, I don't like protocols that give a very high doses and induce shocks to our body, and then you cycle again and again. I'm more in prevention, if you want. I mean, that's my whole philosophy, right? We want to prevent bad things from happening instead of let it happen and then I'm going to hammer it. That's not my philosophy.
I love that.
I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I think for most things I'm probably right. But it doesn't make sense. Why you want to hit your body with very high doses of anything? Like, you know, I was talking to a doctor this morning, who was trying to get my advice. You know, for vitamin D, why give 50,000 units, or sometimes even 100,000 units once every couple of weeks or months, where you can do it daily, and you want to maintain most of the nutrients on a constant basis, not let it walk up and down. That's usually not a good thing for your body. Take a blood pressure, blood sugar levels. You don't want this to cycle back and up. You want it to be as flat as possible. And that I believe is also true for nutrients. You want it to be as consistent as possible.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, I agree. Well, thank you for giving me your opinion on that. And I feel like this was so informative. NAD is so popular, right? Everyone is talking about NAD. I am so excited I had the opportunity to talk with you about it, because obviously you have a wealth of knowledge. And I look forward to maybe doing some studies on women here soon with you.
Absolutely. It's my distinct pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to getting some studies off the ground with you and your audience. That is going to be very interesting, and hopefully we can bring new solutions to people who want to solve some health issues and extend their health span.
I love that. Well, I'm going to include links in the show notes for your tests, your products, your website, and there'll be some codes. So anyone listening, if you want to test your NAD levels, all the information will be below. If you want to optimize your NAD levels, this is the protocol I'm currently doing. So you can try it out too.